right. Hello, everyone. Happy Sunday evening. It's good to be here with you all. We are here right now to look at the seven steps to awakening. But of course, primarily I look at my journal, the journal I wrote while contemplating the seven steps to awakening. And the last 2 weeks in a row, I was on quote 662. So tonight we get to move on to 663. In fact, let me get that link and provide it to you. Again, the link is to my journal. And the journal is my writing of what came to me as I contemplated the book, The Seven Steps to Awakening. One thing I always like to do is play a song at the beginning of The Seven Steps to Awakening, just in order to be still. And prepare myself to transition myself from whatever I've been doing into this teaching time. This afternoon, what I've been doing is lots and lots of work getting ready for our response to the IRS. They sent us a letter a couple weeks ago with a request for information. And the response is, oh my goodness, there's a lot of detail to it. So I've been working on that. So I think it's wonderful just to have a little bit of music in order to transition into this. Gosh, there's so much music here. I don't know which one to pick, but this sounds nice. So I don't even remember which song this is, but it sounds good. So I'm gonna play it. It says it's a pop song. We'll see what it is. It's by an artist named Norman Greenbaum, and the name of the song is "Spirit in the Sky." It's the title I was attracted to. Doesn't that sound sweet? "Spirit in the Sky." So let's listen to this and be still. Oh, yeah, I know this song. Okay, we're going to listen to this and be still anyway. Oh, that makes me want to dance. Okay.
Best on the bottom of the face, that's the best.
Yeah, it must be the song of the day, since I guess that song's already been played in the room, and I just now played it. Of course, you know, it's kind of a funny reminder, a backwards reminder of our weekly gathering this morning. The weekly gathering, of course, was saying that salvation is immediate, right? And in the song, it's talking about got to make friends with Jesus, so when I die, he'll recommend me to the spirit in the sky, you know, putting it off into the future. So it's kind of a humorous backwards reminder. Oh, you didn't play it in this room, you played it in a different room. I see. Okay, so now it got played here too. But it's kind of a backwards reminder that salvation is immediate, which was our gathering this morning. So that's nice. And of course, there is that line in there, I'm not a sinner, I've never sinned, which is a line that we know is true, but many of us are still learning it, right? We still have that belief that we're guilty. So nice, fun song. Apparently, I needed something to kind of pick me up in order to help me shift tonight from IRS work to, a few hours now of being here in the sanctuary. Not only do I have the 7 steps now, but after this I'll play the audio, my audio interview with Ram Dass Betschelder. I'll have to look at his name to say it correctly. And then later, just shortly after that, I'm back again with the daily quotes. So I'll be here most of the evening. All right, so as I mentioned, we're going to start with quote 663 tonight, from the 7 Steps to Awakening. And I will read that quote to you. You will also enjoy freedom when the mind ceases to be, along with the world illusion contained in it. Again, you will also enjoy freedom when the mind ceases to be, along with the world illusion contained in it. And so as I contemplated that quote, what I came up with, which you'll see in my journal, is very, very short. I just wrote, mind is prison. Mind is prison. Freedom is no mind. Mind is prison. Freedom is no mind. And it's interesting because one of the things that I've been noticing in my own mind in the last week or so, I don't know exactly when it started, but it hasn't been too long, but a week is a good amount of time to probably estimate what's been going on. But I'm noticing that my mind is much more active than it typically is. And this happens from time to time. I seem to experience now, once upon a time, I always had a very active mind, you know, before starting this spiritual path. But now my mind is generally peaceful, clear, I wouldn't say non-thinking, but not thinking about a lot of stuff. I mean, and then I'll go through periods where it's active again. And I've learned to see those periods of when it's active again as exciting, because I've learned to perceive them as an opportunity for additional release or additional letting go or additional disbelieving, additional seeing beyond the mind, you know, a stepping stone. Every time the mind starts to act up again, it kind of reminds me, and of course this is very symbolic, but, you know, I see the ego as this green dragon, kind of a monster kind of a thing, except it's very cartoonish to me. So it's not really scary. It's just kind of funny. But I see the monster, the ego, as this green, you know, cartoony monster. And what it does for me now, used to, it was always up and active. But now sometimes what it does is it curls up in a little ball, just like a dog curls up in a little ball, and it goes to sleep way down in my belly. And when it goes to sleep in my lower belly, and it just lays there quietly, you know, there's lots of peace and there's lots of joy and ease. But then because I'm still in the process of letting go of ego, and because that is really still something I'm very committed to, something in me, the heart, we could say, grace, we could say, calls that sleeping monster to wake up every now and then and show itself, so I can do some more letting go. And so what happens is this cartoon dragon is gradually becoming smaller and smaller and smaller. But then at some point he'll probably, if he's not let go completely, he'll curl up again and go back to sleep. And I'll have a period of, you know, really just ease again, ease in the mind. And then he'll show himself again, right? So that I can let go of more. So this week, he has been showing himself. And in fact, some of the thoughts that I've noticed, the thinking that I've noticed has been really crazy. Surprisingly crazy. And I'll tell you why surprisingly crazy is because Regina, even ego Regina, has always been a pretty sane, fairly sane person. And so some of the thinking that's showing up this week is very, very crazy. If I was to believe it and follow it, you guys would wonder what in the heck happened, because you would see such a different Regina than the one that you have come to know. But I'm not listening to it. And in fact, it's so crazy that actually makes it easily recognizable as ego. But the reason I'm telling you all of this, I'm not telling you just to tell you, it's because of my journal entry to 663. It says mind is prison. And, you know, I can really see that from this week. I mean, this week, as I've been looking at the mind, I've gone, oh, my God, if I believed this stuff, you know, if I, you know, let it move me around, oh, my God, I would be in such suffering. It would get me in such a bad situation. You know, the changes that it would have me make in my life would get me in such a bad situation that I would just really suffer and really, really regret having ever listened to that mind. So when I look at today's journal entry, mind is prison, I can say, oh, yeah, you know, if you believe it. You know, you don't have to believe the mind. That's one thing that's really nice about it, is you don't have to believe it. In fact, there's a line in NTI somewhere that talks about how the mind is confusion. And it says something about when you see this, that's wonderful, because then you realize you don't have to listen to it, right? When you really see that the mind is nothing but confusion, you realize you don't have to listen to it, and you are then very, very free. So mind is really only prison if you're believing it. But if you're not believing it, it's not a prison. And times like this are actually a blessing because, again, healing is happening. I mean, letting go is happening, healing is happening, and that's really quite wonderful. But there's no doubt that the mind believed imprisons us. Jamie thinks she wants to go outside, but I know she doesn't really because there's thunder and lightning out there, and you hate thunder and lightning. If you go outside, you'll be scared. Why don't you stay in here with me? She really doesn't like it, but she doesn't realize it's out there. So she's giving me the, please get up from what you're doing and open the door for me, stare. Of course, if she starts hearing the thunder, which she might because it's getting closer, we're all going to hear some barking because she doesn't like thunder at all. So again, number 663, mind is prison. Freedom is no mind. Freedom is no mind. Freedom is just that clarity and being present. And I think I've also told you all before that once upon a time, before I started this spiritual path, what I really loved was vacations. And in fact, I'm very lucky. I've always had jobs with lots and lots of vacation time. So I've always been able to take like a week of vacation approximately every other month. And so when I wasn't on vacation, I was always planning the next vacation. And it wasn't until I was on the spiritual path for some time and began to experience some clarity of mind that I realized why I loved vacation. It was because when I was on vacation, when I was out of my day-to-day environment, the thinking that my day-to-day environment triggered wasn't triggered. So when I was on vacation, I was much more present, much more just in the moment. I didn't have expectations. Whatever happened, happened, and I loved it. So that's why I love vacation. It wasn't really vacation so much. It was that I allowed myself to be in that state of, to some degree, no mind. I allowed myself to be present. I allowed myself to be accepting. I allowed myself to be here now. And then when I would return to my daily life, and I saw all the things at home that had to be done, all the work things that had to be done, you know, all the quote problems and issues, then the chatter would start up again. So again, even then I knew that, unconsciously, of course, I knew that no mind is freedom. I just wasn't clear on that, and so I thought it was vacation. I thought vacation was freedom, but that was just a projection of that freedom onto the idea of vacation. So again, mind is prison. Freedom is no mind. And I am going to scroll down and click on 664A. And there's a link in the room for you, for those of you who want to read that. And 664 is, oops, see, she can hear the thunder now, so the barking is going to start up. It's okay, Jamie. Why don't you just lay down, my love? No, the evil thunder is here. Uh-oh. Let me tell you what, you guys. I'm going to put on a song for just a second, and I'm going to see if I can take Jamie up to Jasmine's room to hang out there, because otherwise, you know, we're going to have a lot of barking. So here's another song, just a little short one. This is called Love of God, and I will be right back to start 664. That's it. All right, good. So I'm back and I am ready to begin 664. And this is a fairly long quote. So if you're anything like me, you might even want to just close your eyes and listen to this quote. When they're longer, it helps me to listen more deeply if I close my eyes. Here we go. Consciousness, free from the limitations of the mind, is known as the inner intelligence. Again, consciousness, free from the limitations of the mind, is known as the inner intelligence. It is the essential nature of no mind, and therefore it is not tainted by the impurities of concepts and precepts. That is the reality. That is supreme auspiciousness. That is the state known as the Supreme Self. that is omniscience. And that vision is not had when the wicked mind functions. Remember my little cartoonish dragon that rises up. That's the what he's calling the wicked mind. When that cartoonish monster is up and present and full, if we're believing it, then the inner intelligence appears blocked. But if we aren't believing it, I don't really think that's a problem. Yeah, Kathy is asking, what does auspiciousness mean? Auspicious kind of means good, but it means good in a holy way. So, for example, if you were to receive a lot of clarity in the presence of an enlightened person, you might say that was an auspicious moment. That was an auspicious moment. I was there with this enlightened man and all of a sudden, all of this clarity started pouring into my mind. So good in a holy way. And then omniscient, doesn't omniscience mean everything and everywhere, right? Just everything and everywhere. So lots of big words here. I'm glad to know that I'm not the only one that didn't know all these big words. A lot of these words, as I ran across them in the Seven Steps to Awakening for the first time, I was pulling out my dictionary and looking them up. So. In fact, even now, I'm not 100% certain on my pronunciation sometimes because the words aren't words that are a part of my daily vocabulary. So let's listen to this one more time. Consciousness free from the limitations of the mind is known as the inner intelligence. Consciousness free from the limitations of the mind is known as the inner intelligence. It is the essential nature of no mind, and therefore it is not tainted by the impurities of concepts and precepts. That is the reality. That is supreme auspiciousness. That is the state known as the Supreme Self. That is omniscience. And that vision is not had when the wicked mind functions. And I notice we have a Google definition of omniscience. Mainly in religion, the capacity to know everything that there is to know. Okay, there we go. So divine omniscience would be that divine intelligence, I suppose. Ron says, auspicious omniscience. Yes, very good. Auspicious omniscience. I'm going to share a little joke with you, one that Jasmine taught me, since we're talking about these big words. All right, here it goes. I want you guys to know that I really enjoy using big words like auspicious omniscience because I want everybody to think that I'm really photosynthesis. Do you get the joke? I'm really photosynthesis, you see. Yeah, real smart. Okay, let's go back to work. I can't tell if you're laughing or not. Oh, yay, Lynn's laughing. Okay, so let's look at my journal then for 664A. One fear that people attached to mind face is the fear that no mind means not knowing, not able to function, sacrifice of self and knowledge. The intelligence that reigns when the darkness of mind ceases to be is far superior to any intellect mind appears to have. Supreme intelligence is open, omnipresent, awareness, absolute clarity, being. See how photosynthesis I am? I used another big word, omnipresent. Again, one fear that people attached to mind face is the fear that no mind means not knowing, not able to function, sacrifice of self and knowledge. The intelligence that reigns when the darkness of mind ceases to be is far superior to any intellect mind appears to have. Far superior to any intellect mind appears to have. Supreme intelligence is open, omnipresent awareness, absolute clarity, being. Yeah. One thing that I've learned, and I know that many of you all have learned this too, is that instead of thinking in the way that we used to think, it's better to be open and allow inspiration to come in. And sometimes that opening starts by asking a question like, oh my gosh, you know, I have this IRS thing to do. Where do I begin? You know, and then just let the inspiration in. And when we're moved by inspiration to the outsider who maybe doesn't know about inspiration, we appear to be doing a lot of really good thinking. We might even appear to be very smart or very photosynthesis. But it's really inspiration giving us all of the right information at the right time, or at least telling us where to look or who to talk to. Things just show up that you need to read or that you need to hear right when they're supposed to show up. And you go, oh my gosh, that fits right with what I'm doing. I'll include that. And everything is just kind of given. That's the way that Jacqueline and Barb and I are working right now on this IRS RFP. I mean, we just run across one thing that points us to another thing that points us to another thing. And I am certain that all of the pieces of the puzzle, stuff that we would never have thought of if we'd been really thinking, they're all coming together. And I know it's just going to be so incredibly perfect. So there is an intelligence beyond what we think of as intelligence, the mind. Now, this doesn't mean that some of the mind's intelligence isn't used. For example, one of the things that I learned to do, which I think everyone in here also learned to do, was speak a language. It's called English, and read and write and type, right? These are things I learned to do with my mind, and they are being used by inspiration. Inspiration did not really teach me to type. Maybe it does some people, but sometimes inspiration might just teach, you know, inspire you to take a typing class, for example. Or inspiration might lead you to a certain job where you happen to learn to type, and then later you realize how that fit into the bigger piece. But the learning to type, the learning to read, that was more of an intellectual endeavor. But it's a skill. I would call that a skill. And that skill, the skills of language, the skills of reading and writing and typing, and other skills as well, skills of driving, of cooking, of construction, and we could just go on and on and on. These skills get used by inspiration. Yeah, so we are tools for inspiration, or at least these bodies are, exactly. So it's kind of a combination of, you know, of these skills that we have, these things that we've learned with the intellect, and allowing the inspiration to move through. And that's why it's really amazing when you watch inspiration, how inspiration knows how to pick the right people for a particular job. Inspiration knows how to put people who have acquired all of the skills necessary in a place where something is going to have to be done, and then they have the skills and inspiration can just move through them. It's a lot of fun to watch that. But again, the intelligence, you know, the burden that I would have if I thought that I, Regina, the little person, if I thought that I had to figure out this response for the IRS, oh my God, I don't even want to think about the stress and the burden that would be there. But the way everything's just falling into place, I mean, it's a lot of work. But the way everything's just falling into place, and I have no doubt, I have to mail it by Wednesday morning at the latest. And I have no doubt that when it comes time to mail it, we're going to have everything we need. It's going to be perfectly organized. I mean, it's just, and we're going to mail it. I have no doubt about that at all. And by the way, those of you who have sent in the letters, I want to thank you very much for the letters. In fact, you've sent enough letters that I actually will have to go to Walmart and get another binder, because the binder that I bought is now, it won't close. So I'm going to have to go buy another binder, but I'm very happy about that. So thank you very much for your letters. All right, so let's look again at my journal entry. One fear that people attached to mind face is the fear that no mind means not knowing, not able to function, sacrifice of self and knowledge. The intelligence that reigns when the darkness of mind ceases to be is far superior to any intellect mind appears to have. Supreme intelligence is open, omnipresent awareness, absolute clarity, being. And really, you know, that describes that last sentence. I want to talk about that. That describes how we want to be. If we be the way this last sentence describes, then inspiration can move through us. So we are being very, very intelligent when we are open, aware, and being, right? Open, aware, and being. And then inspiration can move in and move us. If we think we know it all, if we think we know what to do, then we're going to struggle because we're kind of blocking out inspiration with everything that we think we know. Sometimes it's a little difficult to know the difference between my skills that are useful and my past knowledge that isn't useful. The way I think things should be, for example, the way I think things work. So sometimes it takes a little bit of discernment, a little bit of practice through, getting it right sometimes and getting it wrong sometimes before we really learn the difference between our skills, which are used by inspiration, and our knowledge from the past, which is an obstacle to inspiration. But if we keep trying, you know, we'll get that right. I'm going to go to 664B. Oh, Dolores says, that's why you're having those crazy thoughts. You're working on that project. I don't think so. You would think so, except that the crazy thoughts are not at all related to the project. So I don't think so. I'll tell you what I'm guessing, and this is a guess, so take it with a grain of salt. But I'm guessing I'm having the crazy thoughts because I've been meditating so regularly and that's pushing them up so that they can be released. That's my guess. But they have nothing to do with the project. The project is actually fairly easy for me, even though it's a lot of hours of work. But the project is not a burden. There's no worry. There's no concern in the project. That's easy. All of the craziness is, you know, personal life chatter that has nothing to do with anything that's even going on. You know, I mean, it's just crazy chatter. Some of it maybe is from, you know, thoughts from way, way back when I was like 17, 18. The way I used to think then is starting to show up again. Just, you know, crazy stuff. So I just let it be. Lynn says, meditation does cause shifts. They might be uncomfortable as the kundalini is activated. Lynn says, look at me, I'm shifty. And the mad woman on the loose. Boy, if I was acting from these thoughts, you guys, I thought about that. I thought if I just started believing all of these thoughts and acting this way, everybody'd wonder what in the hell happened to Regina. You guys would definitely notice a difference. But don't worry, I'm not going to do that. All right, so 664B. First, let me read 664 again. Consciousness free from the limitations of the mind is known as the inner intelligence. It is the essential nature of no mind, and therefore it is not tainted by the impurities of concepts and, oh, that's not even precepts. I've been seeing precepts, but it says percepts. So my eyes have been tricking me. Therefore, it is not tainted by the impurities of concepts and percepts. Now, I don't even know what that is, so if somebody wants to look that up for me, that would be great. I probably did when I was contemplating it, but I have since forgot, which means I'm not really that photosynthesis. All right, let's see. Therefore, it is not tainted by the impurities of concepts and percepts. That is the reality. That is supreme auspiciousness. That is the state known as the Supreme Self. That is omniscience. And the vision is not had when the wicked mind functions. So again, all of this intelligence with a capital I is not present when the mind is really active, if we are believing it. Again, if you're not believing it, the intelligence can still be present. It's like the mind is more like a TV running in the background. But if you are believing it, if your attention is really on it, it's going to block out that inspirational intelligence. Masquerading. Is that what the percepts means? Perceptions, masquerading. Okay, that makes sense. Concepts and percepts. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Thank you guys for helping me out there. All right, so 664B, look at mind and realize I would be better off without you. Again, very short in my journal. But oh my goodness, really, this is a wonderful realization. Look at mind and realize I would be better off without you. Okay, here we have a longer definition of percept. Percepts is an object of perception, something that is perceived, a mental concept that is developed as a consequence of the process of perception. Thank you. Thank you very much. All right, so again, the journal entry 664B says, look at mind and realize I would be better off without you. Well, I have to say that one of the things that I've enjoyed about my crazy mind this week, one of the things that I've enjoyed about it is it's so crazy that even though I already knew I wanted to be free of mind, or I didn't want to believe mind, however you want to word that, even though I already knew that, I would have to say that it has increased that awareness that I just don't need mind. It has increased even more this week. I know you say you want to hear my crazy mind, and normally I would share it with you, except all of these thoughts involve other people. And it doesn't seem right. It actually doesn't involve any of you. They're more personal thoughts. But it just doesn't feel right. So if you'll forgive me, I'm going to keep them to myself. But they're not at all related to any of you. Sometimes when I say that, people think, oh, she's thinking about me. But I give you my word, not one of you. Not one of you is in these crazy thoughts. But let me give you, I guess, one example. I'll give you a couple examples, I guess. And hopefully the people that live with me will be able to handle it. You know, the crazy thoughts that are coming up, I shan't say it. You know, not everybody in my house is letting go of their ego. And if I say something that they believe, that's just not helpful, right? So I'm just not going to go there. How's that? We'll stop right before we begin. Yeah, don't do it, right? So just trust me, they're crazy. So again, 664B, look at mind and realize I would be better off without you. And that's true. That's true. So with that said, I am going to move on to 665. Again, true intelligence does not come from our thinking mind. And what we need to do is see that. And when we see that, we're better off than we were before when we thought our thinking mind was our... We think our thinking mind is our intelligence, but we also think our thinking mind is our savior. I mean, again, if I was listening to the stories that are in my mind, right, one theme my mind has is that it's going to help me out. It's going to save me. It's going to make my life better. I mean, you know, that would be the general theme behind all of its crazy ideas. So if I was listening to mind, it would be because I believe mind is my savior. I believe mind's story. I'm going to make things better for you. And then I'd make some really crazy changes that would probably hurt a lot of people and end up putting me, like I said, in quite a pickle. And then I'd be like, oh, my God, what did I do? Oh, my God, what did I do? You know? So we have to see that mind is not our savior. You know, we have to see that mind is not our savior, because that's the lie that it tells it. If you listen to me, I'm going to make your life better. You know, I'm going to get you away from the people who don't like you or in the way of your goals. I'm going to get you only with people who love you, who are totally supportive of your goals, or whatever stories it's telling. Yeah, someone's been telling you stories. Someone's been telling you lies, Dan Fogelberg. You mean ego when you say mind, right, Regina? Yes, I do. Yes, I do mean ego when I say mind. Absolutely. Mind is another interesting word. Mind has many, many, many different definitions. So whenever you listen to someone using the word mind, it's one of those times when you need to listen to the context of the sentence to see what does mind mean now, because it can have many, many different meanings. Awareness, consciousness, soul are also words with many, many different meanings. So thank you for clarifying that. All right, so I'm going to go on to 665. First, I'm going to read 665 from the Seven Steps to Awakening. Be without the mind and realize that you are pure consciousness. Now, this is getting to the teaching that Jay gave us this morning in the weekly gathering based on how salvation is immediate. You know, we can let go of the mind in any moment. And in fact, that's really what meditation is to me. When I meditate, if I find that my attention has shifted into thinking, as soon as I notice that, then what I do is I shift my attention away from thinking back to pure consciousness, awareness, isness, beingness, whatever word you want to call it, but it's not the thinking mind. It's that which is just being, that which is just present, that which is pure. And I shift my attention back to that. And you know what? That can be done now, at any time, now. Whenever I notice that my mind is, you know, if my mind gets caught up in one of these crazy thoughts, you know, run away from home, you know, leave everyone and everything and don't let anybody ever hear from you again. These are one of the crazy thoughts. I would just disappear. Nobody would know where I was. The mind even has a place picked out where I would go. And I would just disappear. The mind's got a whole story on how I can make it happen. And so if I did that, if I ran away from home. Now I forgot what I was going to say. Now that I confessed a part of one of my crazy stories, I forgot what I was going to say. Does anybody know where I was headed with that? Oh, I do know where I was headed with that. So as soon as the mind starts telling the story, talking about the place, talking about how it can be done, right? I shift into awareness, shift into consciousness, shift into presence. And I'm already there. I didn't have to sell everything or give everything away or write a will saying that everything belongs to Jasmine or I didn't have to do anything, right? I'm there. Boom. Immediately. Right? It's wonderful. So I can be without mind and realize that I am pure consciousness now. At any time that I choose to do that. It's the most magnificent thing in the world. It's the immediate salvation that Jay spoke of and that Lynn read about this morning, right? Okay, so I see that if I run away from home, I really have to keep it a secret because some of you guys are going to try to run away from home and join me, right? Maybe this is what our retreat center is all about. So we can at least run away for a little bit, you know, just enough. And then, of course, we'll go back to our lives. But it gives us a place to go just for a little break every now and then when we get that retreat center. Anyway, so 665 says, be without the mind and realize that you are pure consciousness. And again, that's the immediate salvation. We can do that now, in any time. Now. Now, in my journal, I wrote for 665, when resistance sets in and clings to mind as if mind is a life raft, step out of mind and realize the spaciousness of true self. When resistance sets in and clings to mind as if mind is like a life raft. Step out of mind and realize the spaciousness of true self. So, it's like I mentioned a little bit ago, the reason we listen to mind, although we would never go up and say to anybody, oh, mind is my savior, you know. Some of us might say Jesus is my savior, or some of us might say Holy Spirit is my savior. None of us would probably say mind is my savior. And yet, you know what we really think? In a lot of cases, mind is my savior. That's why we listen to its stories. We think that it's trying to save me. And I'm going to listen to it because I trust it. This is when we're really crazy, when we're believing mind in that way. And so 665 in the journal says, when resistance sets in, the reason that's called resistance is that's resistance to your true self, right? Whenever you are listening to mind and believing that mind is your savior, in that moment you are totally resisting your true self. Your true self doesn't need a plan. You know, your true self doesn't need all of mind's ideas. Your true self is just present here and trust the unfolding, however the unfolding happens, is able to go with the flow, as we say, right? So whenever you are listening to mind and all of its crazy ideas, what you're doing in that moment also is you are resisting your truth. So 665 in the journal says, when resistance sets in and clings to mind as if mind is a life raft. See how that belief that mind is my savior is there? When it clings to mind as if mind is a life raft, step out of mind. Oh my God. Now think about this for a second. We're saying that our attention is clinging to mind like mind is a life raft. And then the very next line is saying, step out of mind. That's like saying, step out of your life raft. If I do that, aren't I going to drown? The truth is no. And that's because of what we've already seen, that true intelligence is actually blocked by mind. And true intelligence happens when you let go of mind, step away from mind. But the problem is, so many of us really, 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 really believe, even though we say we don't, so many of us really believe that mind is our life raft. And when mind starts giving all of these ideas about how it's going to save us, how it's going to make us safe, make us liked, make people perceive us the way we want to be perceived, whatever, we listen to it. We do whatever it tells us to do, and we're terrified of not doing it. Because there's this idea that if I do not listen to mind, I am going to drown. I'm going to suffer in some way. It's going to be hell in some way. I'm going to get screwed. I'm going to get stepped on. I'm going to be abused. I'm going to be disliked. I'm going to be hungry. I'm going to be homeless. Whatever. I'm going to be lonely. Right? Everybody's going to know how stupid I am, that I'm not photosynthesis. Right? So, when resistance sets in and clings to mind as if mind is a life raft, step out of mind. We have to be willing to take that step. We have to be willing to step out of what we perceive to be the life raft in order to find out that we're not going to drown. In order to find out that there is something beyond the little me that takes care of everything. By the way, today Nikki Dobson shared a YouTube clip with me. The YouTube clip is Michael Singer, and really what he's doing is he's talking about his new book, The Surrender Experiment, but it's about a 15-minute talk that he gives on karma yoga. In fact, you could probably search YouTube for Michael Singer karma yoga and find it. Or if you want, you could just go to Facebook and go to Regina Dawn Akers Thoughts and Teachings, and you'll see it there. I posted it there. But it's a wonderful discussion about how everything is just happening, what the Course would call a script, and about how we can be with that if we don't try to take from that. For example, I'm trying to take from that if I'm trying to manage your perceptions and get you to like me. I'm trying to make you think I'm photosynthesis, make you think I know all these big words and what they mean. You know, I'm trying to manage your perception. Then in some way, I'm trying to take from the universe. But he talks about how if you're just being with it, if you're just allowing it, if you're just watching it, right? This is karma yoga. So it's a really nice little 15-minute clip. Fits well with what we're talking about now. So if you want, go check that out. Again, that's Michael Singer talking about karma yoga. All right. So again, the journal entry for 665 says, when resistance sets in and clings to mind as if mind is a life raft, step out of mind and realize the spaciousness of true self. Remember, we talked earlier that true intelligence for us would be to be open, aware, clear, right? And then inspiration can move us. Be that spaciousness. Be that openness. And then let inspiration move us without all of the thinking mind's ideas about how to save you. Maybe instead of running away from home, you're going to work on a very big IRS response. And maybe that's your salvation, actually, is just to move through that IRS response instead of heading for the hills. That takes us, to 666. Wasn't somebody wanting 666 tonight? I think I saw some typing on the board about 666. So we are ready for 666. And this is, quote, 666 from the Seven Steps to Awakening. Mind is like a tree, which is firmly rooted in the vicious field known as body. Worries and anxieties are its blossoms. It is laden with the fruits of old age and disease. It is adorned with the flowers of desires and sense enjoyments. Hopes and longings are its branches, and perversities are its leaves. Mind is like a tree, which is firmly rooted in the vicious field known as body. Worries and anxieties are its blossoms. It is laden with the fruits of old age and disease. It is adorned with the flowers of desires and sense enjoyments. Hopes and longings are its branches, and perversities are its leaves. So let's look at the journal 666. A. I, as a thought, seems more substantial because of the body. The I thought plus the body perception generates a stronger belief in I. And I'm assuming that many of you have already noticed this. There's this realization that it would maybe be easier to let go of I, the idea of an I, if I didn't have this body that seemed so different and so separate from everybody else's body. Kathy says, yeah. Yeah, so that's kind of what he's saying in this quote. The mind is like a tree which is firmly rooted in the vicious field known as body. Again, 668. 666A says, I, as a thought, seems more substantial because of the body. The I thought plus the body perception generates a stronger belief in I. And this was the final challenge of the ego that we saw Jesus go through in the Bible. If you read the Bible stories, the final challenge of the ego that Jesus went through was in the Garden of Gethsemane. Remember? The Garden of Gethsemane, when they were going to come and arrest him and then take him off, and eventually led to his crucifixion. And according to the Bible story, Jesus wept. In fact, one gospel says he wept tears of blood, right? He wept. Well, according to the Bible, his final lesson was in Gethsemane. Yeah, that's the last time that he really, really suffered. Some people think that he suffered on the cross, but that's actually a misunderstanding. They think he suffered on the cross because he said, Father, you know, why have you forsaken me? But actually, he was quoting scripture, if that's what actually happened, if that's what was said. Father, why have you forsaken me is the first line of one of the Psalms. And back in his day, when rabbis would quote a psalm, they'd want to bring an entire psalm to your mind, they would say the first line. And that's what Jesus was doing there. He was quoting King David, and it could be interpreted, Christians would interpret that as what he was saying, is that he was the one King David prophesied about in that psalm. So the only time that the Bible really shows him suffering is in Gethsemane. Yeah, the last lesson. After that, he's at peace. He allows things to unfold. He no longer defends himself, right? He's no longer struggling after that. But why does he suffer in the Garden of Gethsemane? Isn't it still the body attachment? Doesn't he come out of the garden and doesn't he say the spirit is willing, but the body is weak in the book of Mark? And then he has to go back into the garden because he realizes he's not fully ready yet. So that's what we're being told here. It's this attachment to the body that really makes it very, very difficult for us. Mind is like a tree which is firmly rooted in the vicious field known as body. I, as a thought, seems more substantial because of the body. The I thought plus the body perception generates a stronger belief in I. And let's see what 666b says. I think I might have been forgetting to give you guys the links. It might not matter. Usually L-I-N, Lynn, is here doing that for me, so I've gotten out of the habit. But there's the link to 666b. Mental stories are the fruit of the I-thought and body connection. And mental stories reward this connection by strengthening the I-thought even more. So again, I'm not going to tell you all of the stories that have been in my mind because they're completely crazy and, you know, they might hurt people. But these stories, aren't these stories about the body, me, and the people that are in the way of my happiness? Aren't those body stories? And so I have to run away, right? Aren't these body stories? And so if we listen to these body stories and we believe these body stories, it not only strengthens the idea of I, but it strengthens the idea I am this body, right? When we believe these mental stories, pay attention. The mental stories are about me, this body. And this isn't anything A Course in Miracles doesn't tell you, right? The mental stories are about me, this body. So every time I believe these stories, I am reinforcing the idea that I am this body. Now, I'm getting the question, can your thoughts really hurt people? Is that true? No, my thoughts cannot hurt people. However, if they believe my thoughts, they will be hurt. And sometimes you have to have the maturity to know when the people around you are able to hear your thoughts and not believe them, or hear your thoughts and will believe them. And you need to know when it's not worth sharing, right? You know, there's a wisdom maturity, that knows these things. And you have to trust and follow that wisdom maturity. So, there's also a foolishness that would say, you know, my thoughts can't hurt other people, so I'll just say whatever the hell I want. And if they get hurt, that's their problem. That doesn't come from spirit. That's not spirit. Spirit doesn't respond that way. Yeah. So, listen to your wisdom maturity. And with this, I'm actually out of time. And I was on just beginning 666B. So next week when I come back, I will be with 666B again. I'll probably do a quick review of 666A. So we'll look at 666 again next week. And for now, what I am going to do is I'm going to, tell you what, I'll turn the mic over to you because I need to save this audio and get ready for to play the next audio, the Ram Dass. So I'm going to let you go ahead. I think that's Alex Energizer. I'm going to let you go ahead and take the mic while I save this audio and get the next audio ready. Yeah, Alex, okay, the mic is yours.